All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. I'd like to preach for about 15 minutes. I've never done that, but I'd like to do it sometime. All right? Yeah. Now, I hope you'll give me your attention this morning, and I want to show you something that I think will bless your heart. All right, let's begin reading, please, in verse 25. Verse 25. Now, there are a couple things going on here. The Lord Jesus is walking in verse 22. He's walking with a guy named Jairus, all right, and Jairus was, he was a ruler in the synagogue. He was one of the pastors in the synagogues there, and so his little girl, his little daughter, verse 23, is sick, and she's at the point of death, and so he is asking the Lord to come and lay his hands upon the girl and raise her up. And so Jesus, in verse 24, is going with him to his house. And as they are walking, this happens. Look at verse 25. And a certain woman, no name, just a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard, all right, did you catch that? When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press, now that's not the media, all right, that's not what that means. That means the press of people who were smothering him, who were following, and they were right on top of him. So there was this mass of people who were pressing against him. All right, so she came in the press, but notice behind. She came in from behind him and touched his garment. For she said, this is in her own mind now, she didn't say it out loud, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway, that means immediately, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, watch verse 30 now. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press. All right, now watch. Let's say they're going this way. Who dropped that? Who dropped that? You lose. 45-second rule, yeah. So they're going this way. The girl, the lady runs up. She grabs the hem of his garment from behind. He stops. All right, now get this. This is important. He stops. And when he stopped, he turns around. All right, you see it? He turns around, looks her dead in the eye. Looks her dead in the eye. All right, now watch. Watch. Verse 30. He turned around, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. Isn't that something? He knew exactly who it was. Turned around and looked her dead in the eyeballs. Now fathom that. Here's this throng of people. Here are people everywhere. And Jesus stops, turns around, and looks at that woman dead in the eyeballs. Was she still on the ground after? Was she trying to scoot her way back so she could get up and take off running? I don't know. It doesn't say that. But it does say that he looked right at her. Man. Verse 33, but the woman, what's the next word? Fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, only time. This is the only time anywhere in the four Gospels where Jesus called a non-relative his daughter. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now, I want to speak to you this morning on this subject. Why did Jesus treat her like this? Why did he treat her like this? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Bless it now. Give us understanding of what we're about to hear. May we realize some of the most wonderful things about you as we think on this story. Because, Father, it is definitely revealing of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So bless your word and touch our hearts with it. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. This is such a wonderful, wonderful event that was recorded for us here in just these few verses. The Lord Jesus is walking through, and there's a great crowd of people that are walking with him. He is going to the home of a fella by the name of Jairus, who has a very sick daughter, and she's dying in her sickness. So as they are walking, as Jesus walked, it was difficult for him to move quickly because of the huge group of people who had gathered around him. And this woman had, who came up from behind, this woman came and had an embarrassing physical problem. For 12 years, this poor gal has had a menstrual bleeding issue. And for 12 years, she has spent all of her money going to doctors who took her money in exchange for doing nothing to help her. So now she is in total desperation. She is miserable. She is at her wit's end and thinks to herself, I have heard so many wonderful things about this Jesus and all the miraculous things he can do, so maybe he can help me. So she comes to where she was told he was. And sure enough, she finds him. But there's a problem when she finds him. And the problem is there is this group, this mass of people who are all around him. And they are all moving as one, slowly, but they are all moving as one group. And so she thinks to herself, how am I going to get his attention? And then she thinks to herself, I'm never going to get his attention. So I guess I'm just going to have to get on my knees and I'm going to have to get as close to him as I can as he passes by, and I'll just throw myself towards him, and I'll reach and grab the hem of his garment. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I can be healed. And so that's exactly what she does. Now think about that for just a moment. What does that reveal about her? Well, in my mind, if you think about it for just a moment, it kind of reminds me that this woman is a very modest and unassuming lady. She doesn't want to make a scene. She doesn't want to be seen. But she desperately wants help. She was quiet, never said a word, and in her mind thought to herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, then I can just slip back out of the crowd and disappear, and nobody will be the wiser. Now, as I read this, I thought to myself, well, that's noble. That's noble. And by the way, that's exactly what she did. As he went by, she lunged and got her hand on the hem of his garment, and she knew instantly that her physical infirmity was healed. She knew it immediately. She knew it immediately. And so now she's starting to just kind of drift back. The rest of the crowd's moving on. And suddenly, the Lord Jesus stops, turns around, and says, "Who hath touched me?" And so here's this poor gal now. I mean, she's probably like a deer caught in a headlight, you know? She's just standing there looking. She knew that she did. She knew that she had touched him. And she knew that the person that he was asking about was her. So why did Jesus call this woman out? Why did he put the spotlight right down upon her? Why call her out so that everyone in that crowd would have turned and looked at her as she was probably still on her knees trying to scoot backwards to get out of the way? Why point her out? Would it not have been, just think about it. Would it not have been much kinder, much softer, much easier for the Lord Jesus to simply allow her to slip back out of the way and go home without any attention focused upon her and to have to put her in the spotlight? Wouldn't that have been easier for everybody? Well, I think it would have been. But when you stop and think about it for just a moment and put yourself in the situation, I mean, the Lord Jesus, didn't he like to do stuff like that? I mean, you know, go up in a mountain apart from everyone? Sure he did. Didn't he like to go down into the wilderness, into a desert place and be alone and pray? Sure he did. Sure he did. And you can't blame this woman for wanting the same thing. I don't think she was demanding. I don't think, first of all, she is terribly sick. She 12 years, folks. 12 years. This gal's in desperate condition. And so what happens here? Well, Jesus refused to let this woman go. Now, I don't know exactly how it happened, but in my mind's eye, in my imagination, if you will, in my imagination, I can see her on her hands and knees trying to slip away quietly when the Lord Jesus stops and says loud enough for everyone, including her, to hear, "Who hath touched my clothes?" And almost in my mind, I can see it, you know, just like the parting of the Red Sea, and there she was. Everybody is now looking at the same woman that the Lord Jesus is looking at while she is looking at Jesus. Why did he call her out? Why did he treat her this way? Well, he summoned her forth, stood her up, and made her tell her story. He brought her to his side. He brought her to his feet. So you might wonder, why did he act like this? Well, the truth is, it seems to me to be so different than the usual tenderness that our Lord showed to others. So let's look at for the loving reason for why he treated her this way. I want to give you three things as I have time. And now, if he had just let her slip away, number one, had he just let her slip away, she would have carried misconceptions to her grave. Now, you think about this. So what do I mean by that? Well, just think about it for a moment. She would probably, had she been allowed just to slip off, just to slip away and go home, never have to face any of those people again, never see any of them again, had she just slipped off and went home, then she would have carried misconceptions to her grave. Like what? Well, she probably would have thought that there was some magic that took place. You know, some hocus pocus stuff. You know, abracadabra stuff. But no, it wasn't that, was it? No, it was the Lord Jesus. But had she slipped off, she would have never known that for sure. She would have had misconceptions. You know, she probably would have sat around, thought about it, and said, you know, it happened right after I touched his garment. Huh. It happened right there. But no, it couldn't have been that. I mean, he didn't even look at me. We didn't even make eye contact. It couldn't have been that. Surely it was just some magical thing that happened and poof, I got better. Think about that, folks. That's kind of what probably the devil, at least, would have put in her mind. She had no face-to-face interaction with Christ. She simply reached out, touched her hand on the hem of his garment, and was instantly cured. And she would never have known for sure the loving will of the Lord Jesus if she had just been allowed to go back home. She would never have known for sure. I don't know how she heard about the Lord Jesus or even what she had heard, but I know that she said in verse 28, "If I can but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole." That's what she said to herself. She had nothing but the say-so of others to believe that if she could only touch his robe, she would be made whole. But that was all she needed. That was all she needed. So she came in faith, believing that he would act. She evidently thought something, though, magical had happened. And there have always been, you know, those snake oil salesmen, no matter what generation you're in. I mean, they had them way back in the Old Testament. You know, the guys who sell holy water, and, you know, if you put this on your achy joints, you'll feel better. You know, the snake oil salesman. You know, they. I remember when I was a little child, this guy came up our road, and I started to say up the holler, but that's what he did. He came up the holler, but he was walking on the road, and he had a little duffel bag with, or a little satchel with him, and he was selling this magic potion. And we all laughed, you know, we just all sort of laughed, and you could see he was embarrassed, but he turned around, walked away, and then he said, half price, I'll give it to you for half price. Well, we knew it was a lie then, no doubt. But there's always been those who would try to deceive, you know, always has been. And I'm sure that the devil would have said, oh, no, it wasn't Jesus that touched you. No, 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 it wasn't Jesus put his hand on you. No, 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 it was hocus pocus, you know. Somebody did a chant and you got healed. And she would never, never have thought that it was the redeeming hand of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, always been those people selling rocks out of the Jordan River. You know, there's always been those people who had some kind of magical thing that they were trying to sell or to use, and there's a lot of power in just positive thinking. You know, there is, people know that, and they abuse it. And they abuse him. This has nothing to do with magic. And had she turned around and walked away, she never would have been 100% sure. You follow me on that? So you can see what would have happened if Jesus had let her go. She would have never known for sure the loving will of the Lord Jesus Christ. She would never have known exactly how it came to pass that she was miraculously healed. What was her healing and her cure just something that happened? No, no, no. It was not happenstance. It was not coincidence. It was not an accident. It was the Lord who healed her. And she needed to know that for sure. She needed to know that for sure. I'm so thankful that the Lord saved me, and I know it. I know it. You know, your Christianity, your salvation is not a hope-so salvation. No, it's a no-so salvation. And you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. You say, how do you know you can know? I know. I do. I know, and here's how I know. The Bible tells me that these things were written so that I could know that I have eternal life. That's how I know. I'm basing it on the Bible. So was her healing and her cure just something that happened? No, no. And Jesus wanted her to come out in the open and tell her story. And I think he did this so that she would be lifted out of the realm of magical powers or some charlatan thing going on in some great display of healing power. And so he called her out to draw the faith that was already in her heart. He called her out to draw that faith out into the open where she was brought into a living relationship with him. It seemed cruel, maybe, but it was really a very kind thing for him to do, to call her out and make her know who had touched her. You see, it sent her home with loftier thoughts of him. From that moment on, she would never speak to a single soul about the wonder of the tassel at the bottom of his garment. No, 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 no. From that moment on, she would have only spoke about the wonder that is the Lord Jesus Christ. and how he had touched her when she was dying, that he touched her and gave her the help that she needed. And folks, let me tell you, when you got saved, that was the Savior touching you and healing all your diseases, as Isaiah said. So if Jesus had just let her steal away without confessing what had happened to her and understanding it, she would have walked away and told folks that she had found a cure. But now, if ever anyone else said, "I thought you were sick. What happened to you?" "Oh, I found a friend. I have found a friend. Let me tell you about him." Second thing I want you to see. Secondly, she would not have ever been totally sure that it was him. Again, folks, let me express to you that if Jesus had let her slip away and not called her out in front of that crowd, she would have constantly been haunted to the very last hour of his life. She would have slipped away and then wondered, "Was it Jesus who really healed me? Was it really him?" I mean, she would have just had that on her mind for the rest of her life, to the very last hour that she was on this planet. She would have never known 100% positively that it was Jesus who had healed her of her terrible condition. Now notice this. Look at verse 33, please. When Jesus called her out. Now watch carefully. When Jesus called her out. All right, look at verse 33. Let me read it to you. It says, "And the people saw them..." I'm in the wrong chapter. Hold on. How'd that happen? I was going to say, that's not right. Verse 33, "But the woman, fearing and trembling." Now watch. Knowing what was done in her. She knew she was healed. When did she know that? The minute she touched his garment. All right, you following me? All right, watch. "Came and fell down before him." And how did she come and fall down? First part of the verse, fearing and trembling. Why was she afraid? Why was she so nervous? Why do you think she came with fear and trembling in her heart? Well, I think it was something deeper than just her being bashful or timid. Personally, I think it's something greater than that. You say, "Well, like what, Pastor?" I think it was her fear that she had maybe stolen something from him that she was not supposed to have. Think about that. He's walking along. No eye contact. Absolutely no eye contact. She didn't stand on, "Jesus, can you heal?" No. All she did was, as he walked by, she scooted up, reached down and grabbed a hem of his garment, thinking that would be all it was needed. And it was. But then immediately Jesus stops and says, "Who hath touched me?" The disciples said, "Lord, look at this crowd. There's a lot of people here touching you." "No." And he turns around and boom, there she is. He looks at her. She looks at him. And she's trembling. Why? I think that she probably thought, "Uh-oh, I've been found out. Uh-oh, I've taken something that was not mine to take. No doubt she had fear and trembling because she thought that she was in some kind of trouble. What is this, verse 30, what is this virtue that he just spoke of? Did I steal that from him? Did I steal that from him? So I have no doubt but that she thought she had been caught stealing that which was not hers to take. And she was afraid. One thing is for sure, he knew it was taken from him, and he knew who had taken it. Because he stopped and turned around and looked her dead in the eye. So suppose she had come just run home quickly without confessing, without saying that it was her. I mean, look at your Bible. Look at verse 30. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who hath touched my clothes?" Folks, I'll guarantee you when Jesus said that, she froze. In my mind, I see her going backwards on her hands and knees, trying to scoot out of the way. And in mid-scoot, she stops. In mid-scoot, I got caught. Uh-oh, I got caught. You know, folks, it was the grace of the Lord that stepped in. It was the grace of God. Oh, by the way, it was the grace of God that stepped in and Jesus saved you as well. Suppose that she had taken off running. Suppose that she had stood to her feet and just took off running towards home. Can you not see that for the rest of her life, she would have been haunted by that fear and trembling that she felt that morning? It would have always been on her mind. So the Lord Jesus could not let her slip away without knowing what had happened. She had to see that it was him who knew her need. She had to know that it was his look of tenderness and compassion that had to stop the proceedings long enough to give her the opportunity to confess that it was her who had touched him. And she had to hear him say to her, "Daughter, daughter." Folks, he never called anyone that, but this woman right here. He never referred to another as his daughter, but that tender word was given right here. I think you can see now why Jesus had to call her out in front of the whole crowd. And then lastly, I'm going to say it and then I'll explain it. But lastly, this woman, had Jesus just let her go, just let her slip away? Number three, this woman would have been powerless in future service. She would have been powerless. You say, "What do you mean, Pastor?" Well, here's the principle, folks. The Lord Jesus saves us. Let me put a little parenthesis here. The Lord Jesus spiritually heals us. All right? He saves us. Listen carefully. This is going to shock some people. All right? You hanging on? Don't fall out on the floor. But he saves people so they can serve him. Yeah. Saved to serve. He did this wonderful deed, healing her of a 12-year issue. So he wanted to make sure she knew who healed her. and then have her live the rest of her days serving him. That's what the Lord wants from all of us. We are saved to serve. Yeah. We're not saved to sit. Hello. Yeah. We're saved to serve. Saved to serve. All right, think of this and I'll close. I'm not done, but I'm going to close. I still got a few minutes, but think of this. You know, not too much further in the distance, the Lord Jesus was to go to the cross of Calvary and there on that cross die for sinners. Right? Not too much further down the road. So question, what would happen to the garments that this lady reached out and touched? What would have happened, what would happen to the garments that our Lord was wearing? When she reached down and touched the hem of his garment, that was a robe. It was a robe that was worn over your whatever they wore. All right? And it was just like a priest garment, like a rabbi's garment. And that's what he had on. And she reached down and she grabbed a hold of that. It had no doubt tassels along the bottom. That's what the rabbis had on their garments. And so she reached down and she touched that. So question, what would happen in just a short time? Remember, in just a short time, he's going to the cross. Yeah. And if you'll remember when he was in the house of Caiaphas, they took him down in the dungeon at Caiaphas's house. Now, I've been there many times. It's heartrending. You take you down a bunch of old stone steps. You get down in the bottom of that, and there are these pillars down there. And behind it, that's where the criminals were kept until trial. And there are these little holes in the stone, and one's on one side and one's on the other side, and the edge is here. And what they would do is pull your hands up, the prisoner, and tie through that little hole. They would tie your hands up so that your back and your abdomen were exposed. You listening? And evidently they took this robe off of him before they started thrashing him with the cat of nine tails. That was nine leather straps on a handle, and had little pieces of glass or nail or stone embedded in the ends of the straps of leather. And they called it 49 lashes, because they figured if they gave you 50, nobody ever lived that got 50. So they were merciful and gave you 49. Josephus, the historian, said that most people who got that whipping from the cat of nine tails died right there, tied to the post. They died in a pool of their own entrails. They would take that thing and swing it across the back, and it would wrap around and grab the flesh here. And then they would pull it, and it just opened you up. But miraculously, the Lord Jesus survived that. You see, he could not die at the hands of a whip. He had to die on the cross. That was prophetic. He had to die on the cross. He couldn't be shoved over a hill. The devil tried to do that. No, he had to die on the cross. So he survived that. And evidently, when they were whipping him with that, they whipped his clothes off of him. Because they took him, you remember, threw the cross over his shoulder, made him carry it through the streets until he fell beneath its load. And they probably, in ridicule, as they put the crown of thorns upon his head and made him carry his cross, they put his garment over, that robe over his back. Maybe not wanting the people to see what they had done to him. I don't know. But he carried that cross until he couldn't carry it no longer. And then you'll remember that there were some soldiers there, and they were the ones who put him on the cross. They were the ones who nailed his hands and feet. They were the ones who raised it up and dropped it into the hole that had been prepared for the bottom of the cross. And then the Bible says that those soldiers rolled the dice to see which one of them would get his garments. They rolled the dice. They stripped him of his clothing. And I have no doubt but what the soldier who won, whose lot won, soon packed away our Lord's cloak, his robe, and would probably have sent it home as quickly as he could so that it would not be taken from him. So the garments were gone. The garments were gone. But the Savior, the wearer, was crucified. So what was left to keep the message of Christ's wonderful salvation alive? This is what just galls me about religion. Religion would take a garment and say, Jesus wore this, let's worship this garment. Can't help you. It cannot help you. Jesus wore that. The shroud. Let's worship the shroud. Oh, please. No, it's not going to help. The garments were gone. The wearer was crucified. So what was left to keep the message of Christ's wonderful salvation alive? Hey, folks, listen. It's been 2,000 years since this story happened. It's been 2,000 long years, and the message of Jesus is still being preached today. Question is, how's that possible? How is that possible? Well, I'll tell you why it's possible. It's possible because of women like this. It's possible because of men like that. It's possible because of ladies like that and men like that. You see, we know the truth, don't we? And the truth will set you free. Free to do what? Free to live for the Lord. And it is us. It is this woman who no doubt kept the gospel message alive. Hey, I haven't seen you in a while. I thought you were sick. Well, I was, but let me tell you what happened to me. Several years ago, I ran into a guy I went to high school with, and he said, "You're still living." I said, "All right, I'm not going to get offended by that, but I am going to kick you in the shins." "You're still living?" "Yes, I'm still living." "Wow, that's awesome." I didn't ask. I didn't want to know why he thought I wouldn't be still living. But here's what I said. Let me tell you what happened to me. And I got to witness to him. And I got to tell him that it wasn't anything I did, it's what Jesus did. And that's what keeps the gospel message alive. Here's a woman. She's an introvert. She's quiet. She doesn't talk much. She tried to sneak in stealthily and just grab the hem of his garment as he went by. And then she wanted to escape. But Jesus said, "Oh no, who hath touched me?" And he brought that faith out. And I can see her going home, and there's her mother sitting there. She says, "Mom, let me tell you what just happened to me." Yeah. And for years until her death, she told the story of Jesus and his love. Why did he treat her like that? Oh, I'm glad he did. I'm glad he did. You know, folks, that's why he wants us to let others know what Jesus did for us. He said, if you tell others, I'm going to tell my Father what a good job you're doing witnessing for me. I'm going to tell my Father what a good witness you are. Man, that's what I like, don't you? So why did he treat her like this? Well, she was given a job. She was given a commission. And she was more than ready to tell others about Jesus and what he had done for her. So folks, we ought to be excited about telling others what Jesus has done for us. Let's bow for prayer, please. Well, our Heavenly Father, thank you now for your wonderful word. Bless this to our hearts. Give us encouragement and strength. And Father, help us to get a little bit better understanding of what you want now that we're saved. You saved us, but you saved us to serve. So Father, give us a servant's heart. And I just pray for my church family here. And ask, Lord, that you will stir in our hearts a desire to want to tell everyone that we can about what the Savior has done for us. And Father, I'm thankful for that day when you reached down in the pit and pulled me out. And Father, I pray that we'll all be thankful for that. And just draw a little closer to you this morning, knowing that you want us to serve you. Could we just avail ourselves for you to use us? In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen.